Okay, thanks everyone. Hey, thank you for inviting me over to BitRightCon. I'm really glad 20H invited me and really honored to be here. And thanks for Sublime and Josua for setting it up for us. So I want to present today on IRC Now. We're trying to run a network that is controlled by the users, where the users can control the policies, where we have control over the software, and we can steer the direction of what we want to do for our network. So our model is of the users, by the users, for the users. And my name is Aaron Lin. That's my real name, but you can just call me Junior Mu, JRMU, Junior Mu. And if you need to reach me, that's my email address, jrmu@ircnow.org, and that's our website, and we've got an IRC network. So let's get to what our network's all about. We wanted a network where we, the users, had control over it and that was independent from Silicon Valley. I have a really hard time, surviving without all the cloud services run by all the non-free and proprietary corporations, but I was really upset with how they are constantly taking away our digital rights online. So we wanted to create something independent from them without the same kinds of pressure from corporate investors, where we have control over it. So we're aiming for a network where we have self-governance, where we're running free and open source software, so the users can decide what they want to do with it. It started off mostly centered around IRC, but then we started offering a bunch of other services, like we're offering email now, and we want to offer web hosting and all sorts of other stuff. So it's just a general network. You can kind of think of it as we're trying to be like a cloud, a replacement for the cloud services for the free software community. But we wanted to do things differently by having a guaranteed bill of rights for our users. It's like a digital bill of rights. We're not fully, like right now it's a little bit chaotic because we started not too long ago, but we're aiming for a digital bill of rights and a constitution and like a way to elect people to decide on policy so that users have a voice on their network. So those are our goals. You can think of it like how a government will guarantee you things like freedom of speech and freedom of the press and freedom of religion. We're aiming for very similar rights. The right to have code, to use the code however you want to use it, to make sure it's open source and free software, to get rid of unreasonable tracking, and to have fair trial by jury. Now, this may sound kind of strange, but if you can kind of think, if you've ever had like an account on YouTube or Google, and they suddenly shut down your account, and you had no ability to ask them why, and they don't give you any evidence for why they shut down your account, and you've just lost like thousands of dollars or something like that. That's what I mean by fair trial by jury. I would like so that we have some transparency in the in how accounts are moderated. So 20H asks, does your Bill of Rights include constant military actions to keep the military-industrial complex alive? Oh, that's a well, we don't have any military. We have a digital analog, which is the Minutemen. We're trying to teach people to teach our users to write their own software and to run their own software, because we believe that if you control your own code, then the staff can't mistreat you. It's the only way to keep them in check, and I'll talk about that a little bit later on. Yeah, so. So I'm going to continue real quick. See if I can. Okay. So we want you to help host it and to join in running the network. We're going to provide hardware. So everybody here who's interested in joining us, we're going to provide you with a free virtual private server. It'll be valid for a week, and then if you still use it, just contact us to extend it for another month. If you can message me on IRC, all of you guys who are there, just go ahead and message me on IRC. My nick is JRMU. If you can send us your email address, I'll send you the credentials. I created like 10 virtual private servers so people can come. I'm not sure if the folks at Bitrike, you guys are more advanced. I gave this talk at a GNU conference, it was Libre Planet, and I think they had more people who were not so familiar with Unix. But the folks at Bitrike, you guys probably all run your own servers. So, but we'll offer them anyway if you guys request this. So just message me and send me your email. Do we have free GPUs? No, actually, I still can't get the GPU running on OpenV. I haven't had time to figure out how to get my GPU supported with OpenVSD. We're running Most of the network is run with OpenBSD, which the graphics card support isn't that great. So, but it makes for a great server. We're trying to teach people how to learn Unix, how to work with free software and open standards. We try to document how our entire network is set up, and you can clone it and fork it on the community wiki. The goal is just to promote freedom on the internet. Almost everything I produce is released open source in some way. It's probably permissive licensed. Yeah, so it's all run on OpenBSD. We try to stick with all of the software in OpenBSD base. We do welcome people who want to use Linux and other Unix-like operating systems. We have a program for Plan 9, which is something that's like really near and dear to my heart, is I really love Plan 9. I think that it'll the folks at Bitrike, you guys will appreciate it too. We're giving out free Plan 9 accounts as well. So we're like a general purpose shell provider. We provide shell accounts and bouncers, and we have an IRC network. We'll also try to get in the future, we're going to try to give out email accounts, and we're giving out free Plan 9 accounts right now if you guys want to learn Plan 9. So come and invite your friends. If your friends want to learn Unix, we will give them free virtual private servers if they sign up. Later on, we're going to try to produce some courses to teach people how to write some code in C, Perl, and Shell. And the idea is we want our users to be more educated because I've noticed a pattern that unless the users have the power to fork, the staff will repeatedly mistreat them from time to time, and we just have to constantly warn the staff that the users have the power to leave. And so I like to share a little story about AT&T Unix and how the users having the power to fork actually saved Unix and kept it free. So AT&T released the Unix source code back in 1975, right? This was when Bell Labs was working on it, and they just bundled the source code with the operating system because that's what the developers had, and they didn't realize that Unix would be so big. It was kind of like plumbing to them. Well, later on, Unix caught on in popularity, and the lawyers and the bureaucrats over there said that they didn't want people to freely reshare the code. They started to send them, copyright notices, and they tried to shut down the sharing of the source code commentaries. By the time you got to System 5 version 3 or something like that, they no longer included source code. But by this time, the Unix users were just too technically skilled. They had a lot of graduate students and professors who were basically able to clone the entire Unix operating system. And so they did. So, you had UC Berkeley, they cloned it with the Berkeley software distribution, BSD. You had a Tannenbaum cloned Unix with his Minix operating system. You had the GNU project, and you had the Linux kernel. And pretty soon, there were all these Unix-like clones floating around. And AT&T's Unix division pretty much collapsed. It didn't make any money at all. They went through all this trouble to get the trademark, and they tried to like sue people. And pretty soon, it was a completely worthless business. And this was thanks to our educated user base and the free software community. So what we learned is that from this episode in the 1970s is that educated users can resist and pretty much destroy a powerful monopoly. And so once I when I when I found this out, I realized that we really have to focus on getting our users more educated, and that's why we picked BSD. I think it'll resonate a lot with the folks at BitRightCon, because BSD is a lot more minimalist. The source code is easier to understand, and we'll get to that soon. So we're welcoming a lot of newbies. I think that, I myself am kind of a newbie. And so if you've got friends who are on Windows or iPhone or Android and they don't have any idea about Unix, come send them our way. We've got a tutorial for Unix. It'll teach them. This is the Unix 101 tutorial here. You can get it in the slideshow. It'll teach them basic shell commands, man pages, the file system, Unix pipes and processing filters and terminal multiplexers and all that stuff. Maybe if somebody could write for us an Abduco guide, we could include that in the future. I actually quite liked that. I thought it was very interesting because I always used tmux before. So anyway, we'll explain why we use BSD Unix. I've been using BSD for almost a decade now, OpenBSD, and I really loved it. It was a great platform for code creation. The documentation was really simple, really clean and well organized. For people who appreciate good documentation, it's got really nice man pages. So that was nice. The source code is a lot cleaner than the GNU project. isn't suing the last so 28 said isn't suing the last industry that's left in the USA. So we've got the OpenBSD has got really clean source code. It's probably not as clean as BitRaik. You guys are really minimalist. When I saw Abduka, I was like, wow, this is even cleaner than Tmux. But you know, it's a pretty functional system, and yet the source code is still easy to learn. It's about 100 times smaller than the GNU project, so I really love that. It's free software. It's permissively licensed, so you can come in. So that's why I chose it. I thought it was great. We want to get developers. We want to decrease the gap between the average user and the average developer, so that the users are actually writing their own code instead of just passively consuming it. I think it's a common theme for all the other presentations. Like we don't want users to just consume. We want them also to develop. So we put the guides on the you can clone the guides there. Nobody has asked for a VPS. So I guess you guys all have a VPS. That's okay. If you guys have your own VPS, you're welcome to just clone the bootcamp, and you can clone it and see if it works for you. You can run it inside your own virtual machine. It should work with any system with OpenBSD, or you can even possibly you could adapt it for Linux. I know some of the distributions, like I think it was Void Linux, lets you easily install the OpenBSD software. We're using almost all the packages from almost all the software from OpenBSD base. So if you take a look at our bootcamp, we're using like OpenSMTPD. We're not using PostFix or XM. We're using OpenHTTPD. We're not using Nginx or Apache or LightDD. What other things? Oh, we're not using Certbot. So if you have got, if you can set up a new virtual private server and put OpenBSD on it, you're good to go. You don't even have to use our network. That's cool with us. The documentation should be pretty general so that it can work anywhere. Our goal is just to encourage more people to host and run their own services, because the internet is becoming very non-free, very unfree. Yeah, exactly. Void Linux is OpenDuas. So it probably has OpenSMTP and OpenHTTP. I think Void was like the Linux that I think was the closest to that had the best support for OpenBSD. It even had Signify, which I thought was really cool. So we'll cover the OpenBSD user land. If you have familiarity and experience with GNU plus Linux, you'll still have some new things you can learn, because the user land is significantly different. We don't have the GNU core utils and all that. So for example, sudo, we replaced it with duas. We have a package and port system. What other things are different? OpenBSD has this, the BSD systems in general have this idea of a base system. The developers kind of maintain a complete system. It's not so much like Linux where you pick and match whatever kind of software you want. Like, on Linux, sometimes for example, OpenBSD bundles their own web server. We bundle our firewall. You don't have like three or four firewalls to choose from. The firewall is bundled. It has a mail server that comes bundled with it, an FTP server that comes with it. So I like this. I find it quite well organized, and it gets the security audits from the development team. So we'll cover BSD system administration, how to run your own IRC network, how to provide bouncers, how to run your own mail server. Oh, and the big one is really how to configure DNS for newbies, at least especially for me. When I first started DNS, I had a really hard time getting my email getting accepted into the Gmail inbox. And so the guides will cover about how to configure your own DNS server, including how to configure reverse DNS and how to get the best possible spam score I could achieve, the lowest possible spam score that I could achieve, although I'm still occasionally getting junked by Gmail. And so that's kind of depressing, but Hotmail is kind of hopeless. So at least sometimes we get into the Gmail inbox. Can you run JavaScript in the Linux kernel now? Is that really what you can do? I wasn't aware of this. I know that on OpenBSD, we're going to cover packet filter. So we're going to cover the packet filter guide. Now you said OpenBGPD. Yeah. I would like to write a course on OpenBGPD soon. That's Josua asked that question. Let's see. Do we support NetBSD? 20H asks, do we support NetBSD? I wish we did support NetBSD. I could not get it to work. Right now, our hardware, we've got a couple dedicated servers that we're running these virtual machines on. And we're running the native OpenBSD hypervisor. This is a VMM. And VMM, basically, the developers took a break. They stopped working on it. So it's like inactive. And they got support for Linux. So Debian and Ubuntu works, and OpenBSD works, and then everybody else is kind of like left in the dust. I tried to get NetBSD to work. We had a couple of folks try to get NetBSD to work, and they gave up. And a couple of folks tried to get FreeBSD, and it didn't work either. If you guys would like to help out and get NetBSD to work, I will gladly give you guys a virtual machine. Because I've really wanted to support the other BSDs. I really have. But I just didn't have time to figure out how to get it to work. Alpine does work, yeah. Searfish, Alpine works. We support Alpine. I think someone tried to run Void. So the Linuxes seem to have no fundamental issue, but the BSDs do. Devuan seems... I actually managed to get Devuan to work. We have some guides in the Almanac. I'll post it. I think I'll post it in the IRC channel. We have some guides in the Almanac for running Linux. Like, they're of uneven quality, so please forgive us for the quality. We have some guides for Debian, Ubuntu. I think Debian we managed to get it to work. Alpine, I managed to get it to work, but I forgot if I documented it. The main thing is I wanted to stay away from all the big corporate cloud stuff. So we went with OpenBSD's VMM. Okay, so I'll continue the presentation. If you guys have more questions, just ask us on IRC. So we replaced CertBot with Acme Client. We talk about source revision control. OpenBSD is still using CVS. So I have a guide for CVS and CVS Web. We also have a guide for GOT and GOT Web. How to run your own GOT Web. It's not as nice. GotWeb is not as nice as Staget because it's still using CGI. But Got itself is pretty cool. If you guys have never, I don't know if you guys have ever checked it out. Got it must be like an OpenBSD thing. OpenBSD kind of suffers from the NIH syndrome, not invented here syndrome. If you guys ever heard of that, where we like to write our own version of everything. I think coming the Bitrike folks can kind of understand this. OpenBSD developers, like, if they see something they really hate, they just write their own. So they didn't like how Git was so complicated and had all these features in there. So yeah, so they wrote Game of Trees. It's quite nice. I'm using it. It's kind of on-disk compatible with Git. So if you guys want to check it out, I quite like it. We have a guide there. This is going to be more for newbies, for people who are kind of like scared of reading the man pages and who are not really familiar with system administration. So we talk about how to set up IPsec VPNs and all that stuff. So it's a lot of fun. Hopefully you guys will join us. Let me go back to the screen. So we have a real focus on Unix, the Unix philosophy. It's something that's really near and dear to us. And I'm really glad we're here at Bitrike because I think we all have that in common. I'm not going to repeat the Unix philosophy. I think we've all heard it before. But what I want to emphasize is that the Unix philosophy, what I really love about it, is that it puts the users in charge. It gives the users a lot of power. Because I am not a professionally trained software developer. I'm just an amateur. And yet, I'm still able to write like useful shell scripts and useful Perl scripts. And you know, we can write C programs, little utilities. And you can kind of chain them together and create lots of useful things without being a PhD in software engineering. Because the Unix philosophy makes things really simple for developers. And so the users are encouraged to develop. So this has always been part of the historic tradition of Unix. I was reading up about the history of Unix. And even from its earliest days, you had Usenix groups where the users were writing their own software. Like Network News was created at a Usenix groups, I think, or passed around at a Usenix conference. So it's really perfect and really ideal for a network where the users govern themselves. Game of Trees. Okay, so now we've been running this network for about We've been running the IRC network for about 3 years now, and we learned quite a few things. And I made a couple of discoveries along the way. One of the first things I learned running IRC now was that I really loved IRC. Kind of like you guys have this passion for Gopher. When I first started, I had this passion for IRC, and I was trying to like think about how I could make everything run through IRC. We were going to create a way to request servers using IRC. But I found out that a lot of people didn't share my love for IRC, and they kept complaining to me about it. Like, everybody had their own favorite protocol. That was the thing I was discovering. Some people like Gopher, some people like Network News. We had a couple of diehard Network News fans. There were some people who really loved XMPP, and then there was also the Matrix and ActivityPub. I wasn't a big fan of that, but, you know, it's very popular. And I found out that the free software community and the free user community was fragmented. We had all these different silos of our own favorite protocols, and they weren't really connected together. So we were thinking about how we could get a better network, and I realized that one of the goals we needed to have was to offer universal service. That is, to support all the open internet standards. You know, if it's used by the free software community, we just have to find a way to support it. So we're inviting people to come and run their Gopher servers, to run their XMPP servers and everything, so that no one is really left behind. I think that what I really admire about BitRacky is you guys have this real focus on accessibility, right? Because we're doing things from the command line so that people with visual problems, you know, if they can't see, they can still use a screen reader. If they've got a slow internet connection, they can still get a streaming audio. I really love this conference system. I thought it was really cool. I might use it in the future. And what I thought was that we should try to meet the users with whatever protocol they were using. And so we began to do a kind of a search for how to bridge all of these protocols together. And what I found, I stumbled onto Plan 9. It's just this amazing operating system. And I felt like the 9P protocol could act as this universal bridge. And so now we're giving away free Plan 9 accounts. And if you join our team, we'll give you free Plan 9 servers. We're just giving, like, if anybody will help out on our goals, we'll just give them hardware. Because this is a network I wanted personally. I really wanted to see a network where we had our rights guaranteed online. And I just had this great faith in the 9P protocol as a way to connect all of these protocols together. Because the 9P protocol, it's the most Unix-like thing I've ever seen. It creates a file system for everything, and it just presents a file interface. So, for example, you could have an FTP server, and you can connect to the FTP server, and it'll just show all of the files as though it was mounted on your local file system. If you've ever used like SSH Fuse, where you SSHFS and you mount another server, yeah, Plan 9 Front, it's got a 9P chat file system. Yeah, we've actually got a 9 grid chat. Makefile over here is our resident Plan 9 user, and he's in charge, and he's helped me with it because I actually have almost no experience with Plan 9. I've used it a couple of times. I really liked the ideas behind it, but I'm not really familiar because I'm a BSD guy. So Makefile was helping us set it all up. He's got free Plan 9 accounts. He set up a grid chan for us if you guys want to join us on the Plan 9 Front 9P chat file system. Let's see, so email to IRC service or some years ago. Yeah, that's really nice. One thing that we were thinking about doing, for example, Tony H said that he had an email to IRC service. There's actually several protocols that are very similar. Like if you look at ActivityPub and email, and Network News, more or less, they're very similar media, right? This is for sending memos that you want to store for long term, and you want to be able to retrieve long term archival storage. And they're usually for sending memos, right? So all three of these could really be bridged together. Like you could have Network News. If you can imagine Network News to check something on Mastodon, or to check something that somebody sent you in email. Or you could think of the other three services that were protocols that are very similar, like IRC, Matrix, and What was the other chat protocol? Oh, XMPP. IRC Matrix and XMPP, they're actually three very similar protocols. They're all for real-time instant chat. And if you could bridge the three together, we're beginning to try to bridge the three together so that, you know, somebody on IRC could chat with someone on Matrix and someone on Matrix could chat with someone on XMPP. This is really going to be, the one protocol to rule them all. That was exactly my thought. That's why I had such great faith in 9P. I actually think that 9P can replace HTTP. I am also very fed up with the modern web and how it's become so inaccessible. Like 99% of the websites don't work with, you know, W3M or links. I have to use Firefox all the time. I'm really fed up with this. 9P is not like this. Everything is just a file. So, you know, you can pick your favorite client. You can use a text editor if you want, you know. What's really cool about Plan 9 is you can actually read your email with a text editor. Because the mail is just another file in the file system. So it's just really nice. So we're looking for using 9P as this universal bridge. And I believe that Plan 9 actually has a lot of great ideas that haven't been fully developed. And we could use a lot of the ideas from Plan 9 to bring them onto the BSD systems, the BSD platforms, and also to develop Plan 9 in general. So we're just offering these accounts, and we're hoping to create more independent software for independent minds. That's our whole goal, is to get independence. So if we can get federation for the BSD and the GNU Linux servers, get true federation and kind of unite them together, I think the free software community will be so much stronger, and we're going to have a much more perfect union. So those are my ideas. Today, I was going to give a workshop on some of the servers and services that you can run on OpenBSD, but I think that most of the people here are already familiar with it, so I'm probably going to skip it, unless you guys want to see it. You guys let me know. This is the main ideas I had for the presentation. The running the servers is pretty simple. We've got most of it documented, so you just kind of follow the guides. And if you want to deviate from the guides too, that's okay if you know what you're doing.